Some guy in France managed to win 400,000 euros because Bayern won. I think he just had like some ridiculous accumulated bet where, like, you say, okay, if this happens, then this happens, then if all of these things happen, and because there's like so many variables, the odds are like 5 billion to one. And it actually happened for this guy.
Hello and welcome to the Super Bayern podcast. Although neither of their opponents put up much of a fight, Bayern Munich secured two big wins this week. They first beat FC Schalke to advance into the semifinals of the DFB Pokal, then followed up with a 2-0 win over Augsburg to go 4 points clear at the top of the Bundesliga table. I'm Benjamin Scott, and I'm here to talk about those two matches with my friends Tim Richards.
Hello there.
And Sebastian Zimmermann.
Hi.
So we'll talk or start by looking at Bayern's win over Schalke earlier this week, where they took care of business and won 1-0, and they're now in the DFB Pokal semifinals. But it was really, all things considered, kind of a boring match. So, Tim, why don't you just kind of fill us in with on what happened when Bayern faced Schalke the other day?
I genuinely cannot remember it. It was very unmemorable, very unremarkable. Play seemed predictable. Of what I can remember, it was just cross, cross, cross. And I distinctly remember people being very angry that that was an approach under a certain manager. But I think this is kind of, it was evident that as soon as you take Lewandowski out of this team, something in the final third does seem to lack. And I think to go beyond that, I wouldn't even say that it's just Lewandowski not being there. I think it's Müller not being in a position that he's best suited to. So Müller is, as we've discussed countless times, so important to the build-up of goals. And if he's the final part of it, then it's kind of, it doesn't really work very well. It was fine. It was dominant. Like, it was one of those things where, like, the final score didn't really say exactly what happened, because Bayern were hugely dominant. Schalke didn't look like they were really in it at all. But yeah, it's one of those games where Bayern really should have kind of put this beyond doubt. Because there are countless matches like that last season where, you know, Bayern were completely in control and were maybe only winning by like one goal or so. And then as soon as it just takes like one tiny lapse in concentration for the other team to get back into it, then all of a sudden you're going into extra time, and that complicates plans for the weekend, which then complicates plans for, you know, if you've got another midweek game coming up. So yeah, generally happy that they progressed, but it was not fun to watch.
Yeah, definitely not fun to watch at all. And I think you talked about Thomas Müller. You know, he was kind of nominally playing as the striker in the match. So Joshua Zirkzee started on the bench, and it was Müller as a striker with Goretzka behind him, and then Gnabry and Coutinho on either side. And yeah, like you said, it just, there wasn't really a lot of options going forward for Bayern. They looked kind of stale. There's a couple statistics from that game that really, really stood out. And the first is that Bayern took 20 shots and only managed to put 3 of them on target. So kind of going back to that Lewandowski, I guess, gap that he leaves behind, that was definitely evident when it came to Bayern's finishing. But also, Schalke really did not come to play. Bayern had 81% possession of the ball. 81%, just let that sink in. I mean, Schalke had 19% of possession. It was almost as one-sided as a game can possibly be. But one player who did enjoy a pretty good match would be Joshua Kimmich. He took 180 touches playing as a central defender, so playing out of position. But he touched the ball far more than anyone else, and we all know how integral he is to this team, but he's someone I feel like that we don't talk enough about on here. Maybe we talk too much and I'm just missing out on it. But Sebastian, why don't you just, you know, kind of talk about how important Joshua Kimmich is to this team? You know, if he can play and be the best right back in the world and then fill in so well as a defensive midfielder and now playing at center back, he's still you know, the best player on the pitch in a game like that, scoring the winning goal, even. Just how important is he to this Bayern side?
Yeah, I guess you really have found the important point about Kimmich here. I guess there could really be a debate who has been playing better for Bayern. Is it Thiago or is it Kimmich? Who's the better central midfielder for Bayern? I think people would very much disagree. Some people would probably say Kimmich. Other people would say Thiago. But I think what's really very clear is you can put Kimmich kind of all over the squad. You can put him on the right side, you can put him in the middle, you can put him in the back line, you can actually play him like an eight even. So there are just so many possibilities with Kimmich, and that's definitely where he beats Thiago. And I think that's one of the things that make him so important for the squad, that we can afford to say, okay, let's put Thiago in that position in which he's maybe one of the best in the world. We can do that because we have Joshua Kimmich next to him, who can fulfill whatever role Thiago needs Kimmich to fulfill, so that Thiago can be as great as he can be, I guess. That's just very important. Another thing is that Kimmich really is a leader. I think some people would think he's even maybe a bit too aggressive at times. I guess I kind of disagree. I mean, that can always happen momentarily, I suppose, with people who are really in this leading kind of function on the field. I don't really see a problem there. And yeah, he's also very dangerous on offense, as we have seen with this goal. He just brings so many things that, yeah, few others really, really could. On paper, you would think, okay, we have other people who can play in the middle. We could play Goretzka, we could play Chalisso, we could play Martinez. Yeah, but with Kimmich, you just have this flexibility, and it's just great. And he will be an even bigger player, I think, in a year or two, I guess. He's still growing, I believe. He's still getting stronger, and I think he's really going to be our captain.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I do think, like you said, that a special shout out should go out to Thiago as well, because he has been in outstanding form since 2020. But the fact that there can even be a debate over who the best midfielder at Bayern is, considering how well both of them are playing, it just speaks to how well the team as a whole is looking. Tim, I want to come to you and ask a question about Kimmich, and I know it's, you know, never really fun to compare players, the importance of players on your team, and you shouldn't put too much stock into this, but just for the sake of discussion, Joshua Kimmich, is he more important to Bayern right now, dare we say, than Robert Lewandowski even is?
That's a very good question. And it's a question that certainly requires a great deal more thinking than a normal knee-jerk reaction of yes or no. We've seen what Bayern are like without Lewandowski playing. We can win. We can score. Kimmich has played, I think there's only like one game that he hasn't played this season, because he was suspended. Basically, he's not played as many games. He's not missed as many games. It's really hard to say. It's very difficult to say. I think it really depends entirely on where you want to play them. So I think the question is more like, is Lewandowski as crucial to the Bayern team as Kimmich is to the midfield, like specifically? Because I loved seeing Kimmich at right back. Okay, he wasn't the most defensive person in the world, but it was like watching Lahm again. It was great to see somebody be able to like go up and down the wing and put in a great cross. I think they're both of like similar importance, but if there was anything to go on recently, it would be that Lewandowski's presence in the middle is so important for Bayern really capitalizing on that dominance. Because like we've had like midfield trios of like Tolisso and Thiago and Müller in front, or Goretzka in front, and Kimmich hasn't been a part of that, and Bayern have been fine. So I think it really comes down to what it is that you want, if you want Bayern to be dominant regardless, or if you want Bayern to win regardless of whether they were dominant or not. Yeah, I don't have like a firm answer for that. That's quite a complicated one.
Well, in all honesty, it's probably not a question we should spend too much time thinking about or discussing. And I guess for me, the answer is, at the end of the day, they're both of equal importance to Bayern Munich, that the club wouldn't be where it is without them. But it says a lot about Joshua Kimmich that he is as important to this Bayern Munich side as, you know, the best striker in the world is. Now, I know, Sebastian, you could make a better argument for the case of Kimmich being a bit more important to the team than Lewandowski.
Oh, well, I think I would really go with Kimmich here. I would think Kimmich is slightly more important. I guess you could very well do with a striker who is not quite on the level of Lewandowski and still be kind of fine. But I don't think we could just simply plug any international quality defensive midfielder next to Thiago and be fine. I guess that's my argument here.
Yeah, fair enough. So with Bayern beating Schalke 1-0, they are now into the semifinals of the DFB Pokal, where they're actually going to face Eintracht Frankfurt at home. In the other match, Bayer Leverkusen will be facing Saarbrücken, who had an incredible win over Fortuna Dusseldorf, where their goalkeeper saved, I think, 5 penalties. So a fourth division side is playing in the semifinals. To me, Tim, it does kind of look like Bayern have a relatively easy path to the final, or to lift the cup even. But I know that you keep up with Eintracht Frankfurt a bit more than any of us ever since Niko Kovac was there. So what should Bayern be worried about heading into this match? Or do you think, hosting Frankfurt, it should be a pretty easy path to the final?
I think it's not even like whether they play Frankfurt in the cup or Madrid in the Champions League final or Leipzig at home in the league. Like it's the same problem that has kind of plagued Bayern forever. Bayern cannot go into any game thinking that it's easy, because they have the capability to control every opponent that they face, bar maybe Liverpool. But even that's kind of up for debate at the moment. Bayern can go into any game with the impression that they are the favourites and would probably have a good argument there. What they cannot do is go into the game thinking they're favourites and then therefore don't have to try as hard. I think regardless of who comes in the next round of the cup, or regardless of what happens against Chelsea or in the league or anything, Bayern need to focus from the first whistle to the last whistle and give as much as they possibly can do. Because that, in my mind, is what separates the very good teams from the very great teams. And I think Bayern have a tendency to kind of err on the side of the good teams. I think, like, looking back to the season where Bayern won the treble, I guess it's kind of almost like quite revisionist of me to say, like, oh, look at how good we were like 7 years ago. But seeing how angry and determined all of the players were, that's something that I think Bayern need to get back.
Yeah.
And so, to be fair, I am actually kind of done with that point.
Well, I was just going to, Sebastian, what's the saying about the cup?
Der Pokal hat seine eigenen Gesetze, I believe, is what you're thinking about here.
Yeah, and that translates to what exactly?
Yeah, the cup has its own rules.
Yeah, so basically anything can happen heading to these games. And I think you're right, Tim. Bayern do have that tendency to kind of know they can dominate their opponents, get a confirmation, I guess, during the match they can dominate their opponents, and then let off the gas. And we know how quickly those games can get turned around. And Frankfurt, to me, is just one of those teams that has just that kind of spirit about them, that when it comes into a big game, they're going to step it up. Or when they have the chance, I'm thinking back to the cup final a few years ago before Kovac took over as the Bayern manager. He came out with Frankfurt and really shocked Bayern, who were being led by Jupp Heynckes. So I think that heading into the match, Bayern should feel confident, definitely confident that they can dominate the game, especially how they're playing. But be very, very careful not to get overconfident. Be wary that this Frankfurt side can definitely pull some surprises over them.
But I think what Kovac did in that final against Bayern was he exploited weaknesses. that were then not fully addressed when he arrived at Bayern, which is if you run at the defence at speed with power, chances are you probably will get past. I think that's kind of a bit different now that we've got different players. Like obviously Alaba is significantly faster and more agile than Mats Hummels was or still is. But it was fairly apparent from the very beginning that Bayern have weaknesses in terms of their mentality or attitude or just general physical limitations that are very easy to exploit. I think that this is a significantly more different team this year than it was, was it 3 years ago that that final was? Three years ago?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It probably could go differently. But there are still things that could be exploited.
This is also a pretty different Frankfurt side that we're looking at as well. They've kind of been hot and cold this season. They can be really good at times, but also really bad at times. They're not nearly as consistent, I guess, as they were under Niko Kovac, and they play a much different style of football as well. So it's definitely a match that's exciting. It'll be fun to watch. I'm thrilled that Bayern have the home advantage because I think that'll really bode well for them. They won't have to be playing in front of the best fans in Germany. But definitely a match to keep your eyes on. But let's go ahead and look at or talk about, I guess, the game that took place earlier today when Bayern beat Augsburg 2-0. Much like the Schalke game, it was an incredibly boring and slow first half. I would almost go as far to say that Augsburg had the better attacks of the first half. It was just really dull for Bayern Munich. But Thomas Müller, of course, nobody else, broke the deadlock in the second half with a great finish after a just phenomenal ball from Jerome Boateng. And it's extremely fitting considering that Bayern Munich were celebrating their 120th anniversary today in those special kits. I mean, if you didn't just see Thomas Müller scoring coming from a mile away, then you just haven't been keeping up. But Sebastian, what changed in the second half from Bayern today that took them from this just lifeless attack to a much better, more dominant display?
I guess for me today, it really was mentality. I think we have been talking about them not taking the game seriously at times before and not having the right attitude. But I think this time it really is true, because I guess in earlier cases, I have always kind of had doubts that that's really, really at the core of this. But here, I think maybe it was the distractions. I don't know what is it, 120 years,
mm-hmm.
and the thing with the fans, all those discussions that had been going down. Maybe that played a role there. For me, yeah, they were really just very, very sloppy, sluggish. There was no plan, and they didn't really try. They just, I think they took it, they didn't take it seriously enough. They just thought, okay, we have been on a roll here. Let's just play the kind of football we play. But you kind of forget, I think people who have played any competitive team sport before know that sometimes if all of the players just make that little bit of effort less than they usually do, yeah, everything falls apart. And I think that really has been the case in this first half today. And yeah, that's why it's even more fitting that Thomas Müller is the one to overcome this. He's one of the leaders on the field, especially with Lewandowski not playing. And yeah, it was great that we still managed to win this one, because as you said, it was really a very, very frustrating first half. I'm not sure when I have seen, well, offensively such a disappointing game for Bayern in the recent past. That must have been quite a while ago, I believe, because yeah, the problems have really been very different ones before, and this was really just so boring and so frustrating. Yeah, very good that it's over.
Yeah, for me, there was really two names in attack that, or I guess you can almost say three, that carried the team forward. Obviously, one of those is Thomas Müller, the other being Serge Gnabry, who, those two are just at the heart of anything positive going forward for Bayern. And then the third would even be Alphonso Davies coming up from defense to contribute to the attack. But The other two nominal attackers on the team sheet, Joshua Zirkzee and Felipe Coutinho, were both really disappointing for me. And one of those, Zirkzee, definitely gets a free pass. You know, he's so young, he's hardly played in the first team. You can't, even though, you know, we want to talk about how great he is, you can't expect such a player to just be on fire every single match. It's going to take him some time. But I think that Coutinho especially doesn't get so much lenience from me. He was supposed to be kind of like the creative outlet in this team, and he didn't even register a single key pass. Like, he was incredibly, incredibly disappointing from me. So, Tim, with that in mind, and with considering how good Alphonso Davies is going forward, it's a topic we've talked about a lot, but heading into the upcoming matches, do you think Hansi Flick should reconsider bumping Alphonso Davies up to that left wing spot and maybe bringing Lucas Hernandez, who's now fit, back into the starting lineup and just dropping Coutinho again?
I think so. Coutinho has always been somebody that is best when he's playing through the middle. And it's kind of is it a shame? Shame isn't the right word. But it's a shame for him that Thomas Müller is now in the form of his life again. It's the exact same thing that happened with James Rodriguez. Oh, great, we've got somebody. Oh, he's going to bench Müller. Oh, no, the complete opposite has happened. Müller's become brilliant again. I guess like the last 5 minutes or so, 5-10 minutes, when Lucas Hernandez was on today, saw him play as a left back and Davies move forward, which kind of makes sense because I think Alaba has been too good in the middle for him to say, okay, you're back to the left back again. Like, Hernandez is in the middle now. It's great to have all of these options. But I think now is, because Davies is so young, he isn't sent as a left back. He's a phenomenal left back. I think like everybody's in agreement about that. Like, we are, I'm sure like Chelsea fans are in agreement about it as well. Like, it's great that he is capable of doing that. But at the same time, if he is a winger, which he is, then it makes sense to, you know, if he's so good at adapting to a position that isn't actually his, there's every possibility that he'll be absolutely unstoppable as the position that he was brought in to fill in. So I'd be really interested to see like what he can do as a forward, or at least playing further forward. If that means that he's going to be there in place of Philippe Coutinho, then yeah, Davies is going to be our player next season. So it makes a lot more sense to kind of cultivate this ability than it does to satisfy Coutinho's need to play, which is a shame because like I like Coutinho and I really want him to do well, because I do think that he will be, like, he could be a great value to the team. But I think Davies' potential is just too much to ignore at this point.
Yeah, and another thing for me is, you know, Lucas Hernandez is our player permanently. Considering how much we paid for him when he's fit, I think we should try to integrate him into the starting lineup. Now, like you said, Alphonso Davies is an incredible left back. If it doesn't work out pushing him forward, I think Flick should bring him right back. But I'm entirely confident that he'll be able to play the left wing role. If you look at Bundesliga stats, only one player is averaging more successful dribbles per game than Alphonso Davies. That one player is Thiago. He averages 3.1. Davies just averages 3 successful dribbles per game even. But he is so good at beating a man out wide, one-on-one, getting down the line, and then putting in just a solid cross like he did against Chelsea to assist Robert Lewandowski. And part of me still wants to see how he'll be able to, I guess, replicate that further up the pitch. Because he's almost similar in Leroy Sané in the way that he plays as a winger. He's incredibly fast. He's elegant on the ball. So I want to see if he can replicate what Sané offers in the final third. And, you know, having Hernandez fit, Alaba playing so well at center back, and then just a lack of real quality right now from the left wing, I think now's the time to put Davies into that position and see what he will offer, especially since it's Union Berlin that we're facing this upcoming Saturday. So I'd really love to see that. Sebastian, any thoughts to add to that? Or maybe you could recommend some change of system from Hansi Flick to get something better out of this squad?
Yeah, Oh, well, now that you put such high praise on Sané comparing him to Davies, I suddenly get very interested in that young guy. Maybe he's an option for us. I don't know. I think we need to consider that we probably should think about the right back position if we do that, because it has just been part of the system for weeks and months now that our left back is way more offensive than our right back. And I think if we put Hernandez in there, he cannot interpret this role quite in the same way as Davies has, because he's just not quick enough for that, and he's just not as good a dribbler as Davies is, obviously, and that's not even meant as any kind of criticism towards Hernandez. I think we should definitely think of playing Odriozola a bit more if we were to put Hernandez on the left side. That could be an option, I believe. Or, of course, we could go back trying three at the back again. I guess I would like to see that at least in a couple of more games this season, because that would also give us another possibility to give Davies a bit more room to go on the offense, to really make more use of his scoring qualities, but also maybe put Hernandez in there. I guess we should really think about that, because I think it would just be a problem in terms of balance if we just plug Hernandez in there and say, okay, interpret this position exactly as Davies has. That's not going to work. But just lacking Davies' production from behind, so to speak, that's also going to be a problem. So I guess, we need to tweak some things there if we're really going to do that, I believe.
I get what you're saying, and I do agree that we're going to, if that's going to become the case, we'll have to make a few other alterations. That being said, the few times Hernandez has played as a left back, he's shown that he's very capable of getting up the pitch. I think he's a faster player than David Alaba is. I'm not sure at what level his crossing is in comparison to Davies, but I don't think he would interpret the position the same, but I do think it'd be a lot more similar than we might think. I think he might be capable of playing a lot more offensive than we would think. And I keep going back and forth about Benjamin Pavard, but I feel like we may have been a bit hard on him recently, or maybe not have been a bit hard on him, but I feel like since the start of the new year, he's been solid as a right back. He's been good going forward. He's been good defensively. I think he's had maybe one bad game. And I definitely think there's a reason that Hansi Flick keeps playing him instead of Alvaro Odriozola at right back. I think that if Odriozola was showing that he deserved it in training, that we'd be seeing him start each match. And the same goes for Pavard. If he wasn't stepping up in training, I think that we'd be seeing that on the pitch. I think Odriozola would be getting in the game a lot more. So for me, there's a reason Hansi Flick keeps sticking with Pavard at right back, and it's working fairly well right now. I haven't been as disappointed with him on the second half of the season as I was at times in the first half of the season. But Tim, maybe I'm seeing things wrong. I know you're not a big fan of Pavard at fullback as well, so maybe you can bring me back down to earth a little bit.
No, I completely agree with you. I think he has done very well. Frustratingly, I'm starting to like him. I still got a long way to go before I genuinely admit that I do like him, but I've got my own problems that I need to address before that. I think he's done really well. He's every time I've seen him play in person, I've always been very aware of when he's not in position. And Bayern have kept clean sheets recently, so he's obviously doing something right. Like, hypothetically, and this is quite a bold claim, maybe he's better at his job than I give him credit for. I really like how he's been playing. And I think I didn't like Rafinha when he started. When he joined Bayern, I just didn't really care. I was like, this guy's useless. Like, he's got absolutely nothing. He's got like no discernible qualities to his arsenal as a footballer. He's not, all he can do is just run quickly. And then when Guardiola kind of insists on playing you instead of playing Philipp Lahm in that position, eventually something just kind of clocks and you're like, maybe these people know more than I do.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, and that's the point. That's the point I was trying to, kind of get across with Pavard and Hansi Flick. If if we went out of our way to get another right back in the winter window, and Hansi Flick is still playing Benjamin Pavard week after week, I trust Hansi Flick. Maybe he knows a little bit more than we do, and until it really, really doesn't work out, it's hard to make much argument against that. So based on what Tim's saying, comparing him to Rafinha, some massive praise coming from Tim. So he's a future Bayern Munich legend in the making.
Yep, 100%.
Sebastian, you were the one who kind of brought this up. How would you respond to that, or has Pavard kind of convinced you as well?
Yeah, I do think he's playing quite well. My really only concern is the balance here, because the role he has been playing, that one he really has fulfilled well. But that is the role of being the significantly more defensive kind of right back to Alphonso Davies, who's just going crazy on the left side. So I think it's a valid question to ask if that's going to hold up if you have a player on the left side who's just not going to interpret it like Davies and running down the sideline and still being able to get back in time and so on. Is that just going to work as well as it has been with Davies? And I guess I'm kind of doubtful, because that puts even more pressure on the other players on offense. The players then, well, I think especially players on the left side, whoever is going to be there, maybe Coutinho is going to have to be more it's Davies in this context, but on the left side, and Coutinho in the middle maybe, or Müller in the middle, or whoever's going to play there, well, they are also going to have to interpret their positions differently, and that's going to put even more pressure on them, when we have seen today and in the Schalke game that there are still situations that cause problems for this offense, especially if it's really hard to break down a defense where they are really defending with 10 players plus a goalkeeper. And I don't know if it's going to help in situations like this to play with a pairing of two, well, people who are really more kind of center back types on both wings, basically. Yeah, I'm just not sure if that's the perfect solution. But that's really not a criticism of how Pavard has played in the last couple of weeks.
Pavard does sometimes also play a little bit more advanced than we think, which is another thing that I think has surprised me a lot. But I mean, yeah, it obviously pales in comparison with how offensively Alphonso Davies plays. Maybe another thing that we should consider is kind of going back to the 4-3-3 and getting Leon Goretzka back into the mix, because he came in today and he worked incredibly well with Serge Gnabry to get the second goal and just overall played very well. And it's kind of another instance of it feeling a bit strange to have a player playing so well, being in such good form, to be starting most of his games on the bench. So potentially, Tim, do you think that we go back to the 4-3-3, put Müller on the right, Gnabry on the left, and get Goretzka back involved in the midfield?
I think is this assuming that Lewandowski is back?
Well, or? No, this is, yeah, so that's the thing. I'm thinking in context of before Lewandowski comes back, because we have a few more Bundesliga matches before he returns, and then obviously the Chelsea match coming up where he's also not going to be fit. So I'm thinking specifically in approach to those games.
I think in that case, I think if Xerxes is going to be the guy that's up top, I think he's not quite good enough to be like a lone number nine and have no one really behind him. If he, I'd like to see Goretzka play as much as anybody else, but I don't think like a 4-3-3 is the right answer, because I think with that, the forward players, well, like the front three, all need to have the ability to score themselves and kind of create them for themselves as well. Mm-hmm. So I think what Xerxes done really well so far is kind of like take a ball that's loose in the area and be in the right place. Things like that don't really happen as much if you play 4-3-3, because the rest of your midfield is slightly further behind than if there was to be, you know, a natural number 10 or even like a second striker like Müller to play off of. But saying that, if Goretzka does come in and plays as a 10, then, you know, with that you can move Müller to the right, Gnabry on the left, and then him in the middle, because he has the sort of energy and physicality that Coutinho necessarily doesn't. He's maybe not quite as skillful, but he has like the physicality edge, which is sometimes what you need against teams that are going to sit back and defend with 1,000 people behind the ball.
Yeah, I guess that if Goretzka was to come into the starting 11, it would probably be in that sort of kind of number 10 hybrid role that he plays, not too much differently from the way Thomas Muller interprets the role. But I do think you make an excellent point if it's Joshua Zirkzee that we're going to be seeing as the striker, which I do think it should be until Lewandowski gets back. It's important to have another player sitting behind him, whether it be Thomas Muller or Leon Goretzka, to pull defenders, to make those runs, to help create space, provide another option. So with all this in mind, Bayern do face Union Berlin on Saturday, and though they shouldn't be taken lightly by any means, this does represent a good match for Hansi Flick to test some things before the Chelsea match midweek. Sebastian, what would be your starting lineup heading into this game?
Yeah, I guess I would have to disappoint a little bit here because I wouldn't want to experiment too much. But Goretzka is definitely a good mention here because I would start Goretzka, I believe. I would keep the back line as it is, which is not great for Hernandez. But yeah, well, he's still just coming back. Give him a couple of more weeks and then we can think of starting him, I think. So I would keep the back line as it was. Then I would also keep the central midfield as it has been, of course, with Thiago and Kimmich. And then I would play with Goretzka in the middle, Müller on the right, Gnabry on the left, and Xerxes up front. Because I think what you talked about with physicality, I think that definitely is the decisive factor here. Goretzka is just... in terms of his presence, of his body, of all of those things, he's just more like Lewandowski. He goes into the box and just, yeah, people have to deal with him. He has this presence. He's a tall guy. He brings some strength with him, more so, of course, than Thomas Müller, and also more so than, I mean, Sexy is a relatively tall guy, but he's just relatively thin. He's a young guy, and you can't see that. So, yeah, I believe Goretzka behind Xerxes is what's going to help us here because, as you have pointed out before, Xerxes alone as a number nine is not going to be too great, I believe. But that's not really a problem because I'm not a huge fan of a classic number nine in our system. So, yeah, no real problem here. I would say Goretzka behind him, Müller on the right, of course, with a lot of movement again, position changes all of the time. I want to see them move around because, yeah, I haven't seen enough of that today. I haven't seen enough of that against Schalke. We need to go back. We really need to go back to this. And I think that is the key here. Müller on the right, but moving inside a lot of the time. Goretzka behind Xerxes, often even changing positions with Xerxes. I think this is what we should do.
Yeah, so the only real difference from what we saw today would be Goretzka replaces Coutinho and Müller moves right, Gnabry goes left, Goretzka takes the center. I think that's maybe the most likely approach that we see from Bayern. I can maybe see Hansi Flick dropping Thiago to get Tolisso in or something like that. But in generally speaking, I think that's probably the most likely lineup. And I wouldn't complain at all. I guess for the sake of differentiation, I'd argue that you should play Lucas Hernandez at left back and push Alphonso Davies forward and then go with Müller in the center, Gnabry outright. Then again, Davies has been so great as a left back. Part of me just thinks, don't mess up what's working. So kind of hard to make too much of an argument against the lineup that you put forward. But Tim, would you agree? Do you think maybe what Sebastian put forward is the best lineup to stick with until Lewandowski gets back?
I think so, yeah. We've seen it before. Well, we've seen like iterations of it before. I like it. It works well. As long as there's like fluidity and people are moving and there's like this constant energy into the box, then yeah, you can't go wrong.
Yeah, and I think that idea that why mess up what's working, the players that are playing well should be in the starting 11. And if you get your chance and you don't take it, as Coutinho kind of showed today that he wasn't going to be able to, then we'll put someone else in there. Well, that's all the time we have for this one. If you've enjoyed listening or are a regular fan of the podcast, please do us a favor and leave us a 5-star review. We would greatly appreciate it. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can follow us on Twitter at SuperBayernPod and tweet at us there, or you can simply email us at SuperBayernPod@gmail.com. All of our episodes can be found on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, we will probably be there. Thank you for listening. Go out and tell all your friends, and we'll talk to you next time.